Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Shane Bigham. Coming up in this edition, authorities in Gaza are calling for the UN to investigate Israel for alleged war crimes. The University of Southern California has canceled this year's graduation ceremony amid student protests over the conflict in Gaza. And the U.S. Supreme Court's heard arguments in Donald Trump's absolute immunity case. We start in the Middle East. Authorities in Gaza are calling for the UN to investigate Israel for alleged war crimes. This comes after workers unearthed 400 bodies at the ruined Nasser Hospital. Akram Al-Sattari has more from Rafah.
Nasser Hospital witnessed 330 stories of bereavement and pain up to this particular moment. The effort is still continuous. The civil defense and the medical teams, as well as the members of the families of the ones who were missing, are working all together for the sake of finding the bodies, identifying their dears, and burying them. This area witnessed 5 different mass graves that were opened, and the work is still underway to identify the bodies. The pain that has been seen is unbearable. Families crying all together after the loss, after the shock, and after seeing the shape of the bodies that were discovered. 3 different mass graves were identified, and 330 bodies are already recovered up to this particular moment. And according to the projection of the civil defense, there are more than 500 other bodies to be found in this particular area. The smell of death, the scenes of death, the sacks that were left behind the bodies that were discovered are all telling the story of the horror that was prevailing in that area and the loss that was left behind.
That was Akram Al-Sattari reporting. Meantime, Israel's denied Palestine's claim that the Israeli Defense Forces buried the bodies. Sarah Coates reports from Tel Aviv.
Israeli military just continues to deny that it was behind these mass graves. We do have a statement here. It says that troops searching for hostages had examined bodies previously buried by Palestinians near the Nasser Hospital and had returned the bodies to where they were buried after they were examined. Now, this statement goes on to say that this happened in a targeted manner, only where it had intelligence that hostages may have been buried. Now, the IDF says it has documented Palestinians burying their dead at the hospital grounds before and after troops operated there. Now, it's important to point out that there were no bodies of hostages found during this operation. And of course, this is very deeply troubling. And this is why we are hearing from the United States, with the White House coming out to say, we want answers. Here in Tel Aviv, as these two meetings continue, there's one, the war cabinet meeting, and then it's expected to convene the security cabinet meeting. And there are reports that these two meetings will be discussing this potential Israeli operation down into that southern Gazan city of Rafah. But it is important to point out that no plan has yet been released as to where these people should go. Now, the families of these captives, they are extremely angry. They are calling on the Israeli government to do a deal now with Hamas to bring these people home and not to have any more military action down in Rafah. Let's take a listen.
To call the government, the cabinet, there is now the cabinet of security of Israel, to make everything they can to bring back the hostages home, to bring back my dad home.
We're today in front of the Kiryat, the headquarters of the IDF, to protest and to demonstrate and call for a cabinet, who is now having a meeting right here, to call for a deal and stop this war.
And as U.S. President Joe Biden, along with 17 other countries, they have issued a joint statement demanding that Hamas immediately release these 133 captives.
That was Sarah Coates reporting. In North America, the University of Southern California has canceled this year's graduation ceremony amid student protests over the conflict in Gaza. Police arrested more than 100 people at USC on Wednesday. The school is just one of many higher education institutions across the U.S. that are seeing intensifying pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Top universities, including Columbia, Yale, and NYU, have also reported arrests. Jody Jacobs reports from New York.
Columbia University remains the epicenter of these student protests, which have seen a wave of similar demonstrations at other American universities from New York to California. The message remains one of defiance and solidarity with the people of Gaza.
The way that Biden has repeatedly ignored his base on what we have been calling for is incredibly irresponsible. And if there is a Trump presidency in November, it will be entirely on the Democratic Party for continuing to disregard its constituents, for continuing to be complicit in the genocide of Palestinians, and continuing to arm Israel as it ignores international law and the orders from the ICJ.
Visiting the campus on Wednesday, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson condemned the protests. Johnson even suggesting that it could be necessary to call out the National Guard.
If this is not contained quickly, and if these threats and intimidation are not stopped, there is an appropriate time for the National Guard. We have to bring order to these campuses. We cannot allow this to happen around the country. We are better than this.
But protesting students have criticized Johnson's comments and say calls for the National Guard are excessive. They say everyone's safety is important.
We also have to look out for Palestinian people and Jewish people who may be unsafe, but that doesn't mean that we have to be nice about talking about Israeli people.
For now, these tented encampments remain on campus, a symbol of defiance. Students continue demonstrating, vowing that they will continue to protest in solidarity with the people of Gaza and that it will not be silenced.
That was Jody Jacobs on pro-Palestinian protests in the U.S. The U.S. Supreme Court's heard arguments in Donald Trump's absolute immunity case. The court took up the former president's bid to avoid prosecution over his efforts to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss to Joe Biden. Trump's been pushing to delay the trial until after the November election. Nathan King reports from Washington.
This case is one of the most important ever being heard at the Supreme Court. Just across the street, we saw the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is charged with trying to overturn the election that was certified in Congress that day. He's facing trial and potentially prison. But Trump and his lawyers claim, as president, he had absolute immunity from prosecution for any acts while taken in office.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts.
Trump, of course, was impeached twice, but was acquitted by the Senate and not removed from office. U.S. government lawyers, however, argued there is no blanket immunity from prosecution for presidents who already have many protections as they execute their duties while in the White House. But they argued Trump, in aiming to overturn the 2020 election, wasn't acting as president, but as a private individual pursuing selfish ends.
This court has never recognized absolute criminal immunity for any public official. His novel theory would immunize former presidents for criminal liability for bribery, treason, sedition, murder, and here, conspiring to use fraud to overturn the results of an election and perpetuate himself in power.
Many of the justices seem skeptical that any president has full immunity from prosecution. What if a president ordered a coup, one asked? What if the president started selling ambassadorships?
There does seem to be some common ground between you and your colleague on the other side, that no man's above the law, and that the president can be prosecuted after he leaves office for his private conduct.
Some justices express worries that if presidents aren't given immunity, then many could be prosecuted as soon as they leave office. It's not known when the Supreme Court will decide this question. Their current term ends in 2 months, or whether it might even send the issue back down to lower courts.
That was Nathan King outside the U.S. Supreme Court. In Europe, Venice has begun charging tourists an entrance fee to the canal city in Italy. Many residents have welcomed the pilot program, but there have been protests as well. Alex Fraser has details.
On Thursday morning, the ticket checks began. Venice is the world's first city to charge an entrance fee. Day trippers must pay around $5 and pre-book their arrival. Tourists who stay overnight in a hotel, residents of the region and workers are exempt. Venice has had problems with tourist overcrowding for years. On a peak day, it receives more than 110,000 visitors. 80% of them only come for the day. The shrinking population in the historic centre has dipped below 50,000. On Thursday, there were Venetians protesting about needing a ticket to enter their own city.
It does nothing to pay a €5 entrance fee when many people are exempt from paying it. €5, what kind of tax is this?
Local authorities hope the fee will deter tourists from visiting on peak days, but they won't cap daily arrivals to the city. Ma non è per
chiudere una città. This is not aimed at closing down the city. There is no full capacity number. We only want our city to be less busy, so it will almost be a deterrent to visit Venice on a certain day as a daily tourist.
For some residents and businesses, the plans don't go far enough.
Venice was the capital of over-tourism, a negative example for many years, so we need to fix a maximum number of people who can be present in the city at one time.
Others think that Venice's relationship with tourism is too complex to be resolved by an entry ticket.
The first issue is to reorient the tourism towards less abused part of the city.
The system will be trialled for 30 days in 2024. Its success or failure will be closely watched by other popular destinations suffering from over-tourism.
That was Alex Fraser reporting. China's Shenzhou 18 taikonauts have received a warm welcome inside the Tiangong space station. They were greeted by the Shenzhou 17 crew after a successful launch and rendezvous. Huang Yue asked manned space developer Zheng Sheng about the process.
About 4:05 on Friday morning, Beijing time, the three Shenzhou 18 crew members successfully entered the Tiangong space station, warmly welcomed by Shenzhou 17 trial. The six Chinese astronauts then took a family photo. Both teams will work together on the handover for about 5 days before the Shenzhou 17 crew returns to Earth. This is the 13th manned space flight that China launched to Tiangong. After reaching its predetermined orbit, the Shenzhou 18 spacecraft activated the rendezvous docking mode. It takes approximately 6.5 hours for the spacecraft to connect with the Tianhe core module after it's launched.
The ratio port of Tianhe core module is more challenging than docking with the front port. This means we need to have more precise control over orbit, as well as the spacecraft's attitude. Moreover, we can receive data from the spacecraft through the space station. This ensures that even when the spacecraft is obscured by the space station, we can still get information from it on the ground.
Zhang also says that instead of the previous cadmium nickel batteries, the Shenzhou 18 spacecraft uses lithium-ion batteries, which allows it a longer duration in orbit. And its system has also become more reliable, leading to a significant enhancement in capability compared to the previous ones. According to China Manned Space Agency, the Shenzhou 18 crew will stay in orbit for about 6 months, and they will witness the arrival of Tianzhou 8 cargo craft. During their stay, they will carry out more than 90 experiments in basic physics, space science, space medicine, and so on. And they will also carry out 2 to 3 extravehicular activities.
That was Huang Yue reporting. Recapping today's headlines, authorities in Gaza are calling for the UN to investigate Israel for alleged war crimes. The University of Southern California has canceled this year's graduation ceremony amid student protests over the conflict in Gaza. And the U.S. Supreme Court has heard arguments in Donald Trump's absolute immunity case. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Shane Bigham. Thanks for listening.